Sana means a healthy mind in a healthy body and radiance. Sana Wellness, the podcast, explores the world of modern wellness through relatable conversations with experts and thought leaders to inspire and empower you on your wellness journey so you can shine your light brighter. I'm your host, Kylie Jane. We're so glad you're here, Sana Light. In this episode, we're joined by Jessica Nussbaum to learn more about balancing blood sugar levels and why this is so important in women's health. Jess is a certified personal trainer, holistic health coach, and nutrition coach based in Los Angeles. She specializes in gut health, stress management, and women's hormones, helping women heal their relationship with food by restoring their metabolism and ending the dieting cycle. Jess, welcome to the Sana Wellness podcast. And if you would just like to introduce yourself a little and tell us how you started your wellness journey and what led you to doing what you're doing today.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kylie, for having me. So I'm a holistic health coach and I still do personal training, just not as much. I was a personal trainer for a really long time. But currently I work with women that are wanting to quit dieting and heal their hormones and their metabolism. So a lot of the things that dieting damages. How I kind of came into, I guess, the wellness space is, and I think this like the very cliche story, which so many people can relate to, is I was dealing with this skin issue that just kept persisting over and over. And it seemed like it was just a topical issue. Mm-hmm. So it's like, just put some topical cream on it and it'll go away. And it turns out after, you know, kind of it going away, coming back, going away, I was prescribed a lot of steroids and antibiotics. And I finally was like, there's a reason it keeps coming back. And for some reason, doctors and dermatologists don't seem to know and they don't seem interested. So that kind of shifted things for me and led me down the path of, you know, holistic health.
Right. And I think that's something, like you said, a lot of people can relate to, but also just touching upon when it comes to our health, a lot of the time we're just, you know, you go to a doctor and there is kind of this very blanket topical approach as opposed to truly trying to get to the root cause of, you know, what is this? My body is trying to communicate something to me, you know, and looking at things like diet and sleep and all these other aspects, hormones, right? Things that we don't really hear a lot about. And yeah, I just think it's very important from a, like you said, holistic point of view to look at the person as a whole and really try to just see from all angles, how is your stress levels? You know, and this is something that we will talk about when it comes to blood sugar. And I think, you know, maybe for many people, they're like, you know, blood sugar, what does that mean? We often hear of it spoken in the context of, you know, diabetes or insulin resistance, or in some very specific cases like PCOS. But, you know, why is blood sugar so important? What does it mean in terms of our health?
Yeah, I mean, blood sugar, it's, to put it simply, it's basically how your food is broken down, right? So we eat whatever we eat and, you know, there's a whole process that goes from mouth until it exits the body, but it's pretty much like how our food is broken down. So let's start with the carbohydrates. When we eat carbohydrates, whatever they might be, let's say fruit, potatoes, rice, but even a cookie or bread or cereal or something like that, the body breaks it down to glucose. And glucose, anything that ends with like ose is sugar pretty much. And glucose is, it's actually our bodies and our cells' preferred source of fuel. So fuel meaning energy, like it wants to use glucose to do things. So that's like, that's why getting glucose, which we'll get into, is actually really, really important for blood sugar. So we eat food, like carbs, right? And blood sugar, it goes up, right? It rises. Again, this isn't bad. But then the body basically gets the signal that blood sugar is coming, blood sugar is going up. So then it tells the pancreas to release insulin. Okay. And insulin helps to balance blood sugar. It takes it from our bloodstream and it brings it to our cells so that way it can be stored as glycogen. And glycogen is the stored form of glucose. So, I mean, they're kind of the same thing, but glycogen is the stored form of it. So with that rise in blood sugar, right, which is why we don't want to eat carbohydrates alone. This is super duper important, is we want to make sure that we're pairing it with protein. Right? Because what happens when blood sugar rises, the higher it rises, it pretty much has nowhere to go, but like down really fast. So that's when you hear people talk about, oh, you get that surge of energy and that crash. That's basically what's happening. And I think we've all experienced it where I know for me, when I love cereal. So when I eat cereal,
me too.
Right? It's been a while, but when I eat cereal, I eat it and then I'm like, I just get this buzz. You get energized. And then 20 minutes later, you're suddenly like, you're not full anymore. And you're like, I could go for another bowl of cereal. So your blood sugar just rose, right? And it dropped super quickly. So now your body needs more, right? But that's why when we pair it with protein, this is really, really important because it helps to stabilize blood sugar.
Right. And like, and with that crash, right? Like you said, you're hungry again really quickly. And what are the other consequences of this up and down with our blood sugar? So apart from maybe feeling super hungry really quickly or having that crash, what do unbalanced blood sugars maybe look like?
Well, it's a really common one is that that afternoon energy slump. And I don't know one woman that I've spoken to that's like, I feel great in the afternoon. I have lots of energy in the afternoon. It's always the opposite. The afternoon, they're tired. Usually people will reach for either a second cup of coffee or they want some type of like sugar to get them going because they're just totally slumping and crashing, right? So, you know, the impact of that, you know, bigger than that's like on the surface. On the surface is like, I'm tired. Okay, let me have coffee or an energy drink, or let me power through it, which is also what a lot of people do. But the larger picture of that is imbalanced blood sugar on a regular basis. You're literally stressing your body over and over and over and over and over again. Your body works very hard to balance your blood sugar. Okay. So if you make it harder for your body by, you know, if you skip a meal, this will cause a blood sugar imbalance. If you eat only carbohydrates by themselves, this will cause a blood sugar imbalance. If you eat protein alone, this will also cause a blood sugar imbalance because if you just eat protein or fat, you know, this is why I don't advocate for the keto diet. It drops your blood sugar, right? There's that myth that keto is great and I feel great. It's dropping your blood sugar. We need that glucose, right, to fuel our cells. So yeah, without the two of those together, it's really stressing the body. And when this happens, the body releases cortisol. So now you're in this cycle of, okay, blood sugar highs and lows, right? If you imagine like spikes, like big, big highs and then big, big lows, that's basically a mirror for your stress levels as well, because that's what's happening inside of your body. And then of course, on the flip side of that, when you stress out, when you, whatever it might be, let's say you're running late for a meeting, or let's say your internet connectivity is really bad, right? And you're stressing out about that. That will also bring your cortisol levels up and therefore your blood sugar levels up. So it's kind of this whole cycle of, well, okay, so blood sugar on one hand, here's blood sugar coming up. And then on the other hand, here's cortisol coming up. And they really impact each other very, very closely.
Right. And this is such an important point, you know, speaking about the stress aspect. It's also, it's our perception of stress, right? And this is something that we don't really link or consider when we're addressing our diet, right? And this combination of stress hormones, maybe caffeine, that afternoon coffee, like you were talking about, for many people, we don't, you know, they don't consider the effects of that, you know, second or third cup of coffee, but it has the same impact on our body, you know, producing that adrenaline trigger, right? Which again, triggers the release of glucose into the blood. And all of this is, you know, it's designed to protect us, right? Traditionally and historically, mm-hmm. to help fuel us to get away from, you know, the supposed danger we're in. However, you know, we're not being chased if we're just late for that meeting, or we're just, you know, experiencing perceived stress. So then this right. glucose will go unused and then, you know, stored of as fat, thanks to the insulin. So apart from the slump, it can also impact our hormones, right? So we're talking about these stress hormones. We're talking about adrenaline. Right. We're talking about cortisol. But what else can that impact if we're looking at things like, you know, our estrogen or like our sex hormones?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of going back to what we were saying with, you know, your blood sugar being a really big impact on your mm-hmm. body, right? And it's a big energy expenditure. So if your body is working really, really hard to balance your blood sugar, and you're making it really hard for your body by, you know, skipping the meals or coffee instead of food or too much coffee, what have you, you know, what will happen is your body prioritizes the stress hormones. Mm-hmm. Your body is constantly thinking there's a threat. You know, if we're on high alert, right, which is what that cortisol does, then it kind of gives you, like you mentioned, you know, that little mm-hmm. adrenaline rush, which is why a lot of people, they're like, I'm not hungry in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. I'm not hungry in the afternoon. It's because they're high. Mm-hmm. They're buzzing off that adrenaline, mm-hmm. right? So that's like food. What's that? Mm-hmm. So the body is going to prioritize creating and making these stress hormones. So that becomes at the forefront because the body's like, okay, there's some kind of threat and we need to prepare for that. So that means that all the other hormones mm-hmm. are now put on the back burner. So that's when we see these hormonal imbalances, you know, and it's not something that happens like overnight. It's really kind of the day to day stuff, the simple stresses of day to day. And, you know, I think with women, we see a lot of just being busy mm-hmm. and then you kind of get addicted to staying busy. Then you feel uncomfortable if you're not busy. So now you're stuck in this cortisol mm-hmm. cocktail addiction cycle. You know, you're like exhausted all week. You can't wait to have the weekend to take a day off. And then on your day off, you don't know what to do. You feel anxious. Mm-hmm. So if you're like listening to this and you're like, mm-hmm. ooh, that sounds familiar. Oh, that's me. That kind of lets you know, your body is being fueled by stress mm-hmm. hormones. And yeah, it just throws all the other hormones. They get pushed to the back burner and it does create an imbalance. And another thing too, is it makes it really hard for your body to detox. Mm-hmm. Right. So a part of, you know, hormone balance, like the sex hormones, we need to be able to properly detox any excess estrogen, which is that's like a whole nother podcast mm-hmm. that's coming from, you know, the foods we eat or plastic, fragrance, all of that stuff. But if your stress hormones are super high, it's really, really hard for your body to be able to detox any excess estrogen or any excess hormones as well.
Right. And so, you know, this is impacted, like you said, by the stress response as well as, you know, by what we eat. I know you mm-hmm. touched upon, you know, fat, and for a long time, fat was the enemy, right? Eating fat makes you fat. All these things, every yeah. food on the shelf was low fat. But
yes, very easy. Right. In a little 90s.
There we exactly. I remember those yogurts and everything.
Yes, the Yoplait. Yes.
But eating fat is critical, right? Fat from whole food sources, you know, things like avocados, nuts, seeds. So the what we're eating is important. And like you said, that can help balance the blood sugar, right? Because fat and the protein will help stabilize the blood sugar. And then when we eat.
Yeah, I think to answer that, sometimes we kind of get caught up in words like meal or snack mm-hmm. or whatever. And it really doesn't matter. You can call your food whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But to balance your blood sugar, what's best for women is eat breakfast. Eat it 30 to 60 minutes upon waking, right? And if you wake up not hungry, like we mentioned earlier, that's definitely a sign that you're running off stress hormones. But it's also a deeper sign of metabolic dysfunction. You wake up and you're not hungry. It's kind of like, what's going on? You've been asleep, hopefully 8 hours. Hopefully you've got a full 8 hours of sleep, but your body needs fuel, right? And giving your body both the protein and carbohydrates first thing in the morning, that's the best way to balance your blood sugar. So many women are waking up and they're rushing off to go do all of the things, but they're skipping breakfast. And then they wonder why in the afternoon they're exhausted and burnt out. So eat breakfast and then eat, everyone's different. Eat every 3 to 4 hours after that is, I think it's like a safe general way to go. But, you know, it might need to be 3 hours. It might need to be 2 hours and 45 minutes. It really just depends. I think it's what matters overall is really how you're feeling and also just kind of the state of your stress. If you are, if there's a lot on your plate, you're going to need more nutrients because stress just really depletes us of nutrients, of minerals. So we just burn through them much, much quicker, which is why, you know, yeah, you need even more when you're stressed, when you're busy, all of that stuff. And those, of course, are the times when people forget to eat. So yeah, I mean, it could be 3 hours, it could be 3.5, and they could be meals or snacks, whatever it might be. You should feel satiated and you should make sure that you're balancing both carbohydrates and protein. I feel like for women, fat is easy. Like I can eat fat, like I can get my daily intake of fat pretty easily. Like fat's delicious. But I, from my experience, protein is just the hardest for women. Women just are not getting enough protein. So I think that's really the hardest one and maybe one to be most mindful of. Because again, that's going to really support your metabolism. And if you're not getting enough protein, that means you're probably eating more carbohydrates, which again, that's going to throw off that blood sugar balance.
Right. We think about metabolism in the sense of, oh, well, either you have a really fast metabolism, like you're just born that way, right? Or you don't. But we kind of forget about it in the sense that it can vary, right? And it changes depending on, you know, like you said, stress or what we're eating, when we're eating, exercise. But it's really, you know, it's the body's mechanism that helps us expend that energy and use that nourishment that we're talking about as fuel. And I want to touch upon, you know, fiber as well. This is another maybe myth or, you know, when you speak to people about fiber, they're like, oh, but that'll bloat me. Or if I'm eating fiber, it means I have to eat tons of carbs. Carbs are bad. So, and all this language around that food, right? Good, bad can also create, you know, very negative associations with it. But how important is fiber, you know, in terms of our blood sugar and balancing it?
Fiber is really important. Again, I think fiber is kind of a tough one for women to get to. You know, fiber is tricky because I think it's kind of planted in our so many women's brains that, okay, fiber, eat a big salad, which isn't bad for you, but it's just so tough on digestion. It's really tough on digestion. And, you know, talking about the metabolism, right? I think probably the number one thing that's harming your metabolism is under eating slash over-exercising. Those seem, sometimes those kind of go together, right? But another, I guess you can say, symptom that pairs with a dysfunctioning metabolism is poor digestion. And so, you know, you mentioned bloat and like bloat isn't normal. It's not common, even though that's a very trendy thing to say. Every time like I go on Instagram, it's just give me like 2 minutes on my search page and there's some girl, cute young girl that's like, look, bloating is normal and we should not be normalizing these things. Like if you're bloating and your belly is sticking out and you're gassy and crampy, that's your body letting you know like, hey, digest, there's something up with the digestion. And it's usually it lets you know pretty quickly. You know what I mean? Like you eat and then maybe 15 minutes later or 30 minutes later. So your body's letting you know, like I'm having a really tough time with digestion, whatever that might be. But going back to the salads, yeah, raw veggies, especially like the cruciferous ones, like please don't eat raw broccoli and raw cauliflower. Like just cook those, roast them. blanch them, like cook them down so that way they're much easier to digest. That's going to be a fiber that your body can utilize. Mm-hmm. The best way, it sounds really simple, but it's true. The best way to help your digestion is feed your body foods that can digest.
Right.
That's like the simplest way to put it. Beans, for example, beans, lentils, those types of things. So on one hand, they say, oh, well, it's a great source of fiber. But then on the other hand, well, it makes me bloated and gassy, and they need to be prepared really properly. So you really want to sprout them or soak them. That's just basically, that's what that means. Mm-hmm. Soak them overnight, cook them really, really well. But you shouldn't be eating a ton of beans if you have impaired digestion also. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. A really safe way to go that does have fiber and tons of minerals, which are really crucial for hormones, is fruit, because it's very digestible. Mm-hmm. I don't really know too many people that are like, I had an orange and it made me bloated, or I had an apple, or I had some cherries and oh, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, if digestion is a little bit tough for you, or if your digestion's great, mm-hmm. and you want to keep it that way, just make sure that you're really properly preparing your veggies, roast them, cook them really thoroughly. Mm-hmm. Don't go too heavy on the raw stuff. You know, have fruit, include cooked potatoes. Those are very easy on digestion. It's pretty rare that someone's like, yeah, I had some sweet potatoes and it really hurt my, you know, it was tough to digest, mm-hmm. you know. Roast them in the oven for a good 30, 45 minutes. They're going to be so good for you and very easy to digest.
And delicious.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Right. And you mentioned fruit, right? And mm-hmm. this is when people think fruit, a lot of the times fruit equals sugar, right? But what is the difference between, you know, the sugar in that piece of fruit and maybe the cookie that you're having? And do those two have a different impact on blood sugar?
Honestly, not really. Like I'm trying to think of like a really sugary fruit. Mm-hmm. If I eat a really ripe banana and if I eat a cookie, they're both going to spike my blood sugar. They just are. What matters is that it's paired mm-hmm. with some type of protein. So even if you're going to eat a cookie, because why wouldn't you? It's a cookie. Mm-hmm. If you're going to eat a cookie, have it after a meal. Have it after you've eaten mm-hmm. some protein mm-hmm. and you have that. So that cookie doesn't spike your blood sugar. I always really always always advocate dessert shortly after dinner, because, you know, for me at least, my dinner, it's a pretty hefty meal. Mm-hmm. I'm full. I don't eat like a little teeny tiny dinner. I eat a pretty good sized dinner, and then I have dessert pretty shortly after, or like 30 minutes after, and it doesn't spike my blood sugar that I can feel at all. And that's because, you know, if you already have something in your stomach that's stabilizing your blood sugar, yes, you can have that cookie. You know, speaking of cookie, just because we're talking about it and we're talking about blood sugar, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times we're so scared of sugar in mm-hmm. certain foods, but keep in mind that, like we talked about in the beginning of this episode, right? Glucose is the preferred source of fuel by our brain. It literally mm-hmm. fuels our brain and our cells. So sugar is not bad. We need sugar. Sugar is actually very metabolically healthy. It's anti-stress. If you give your body sugar with protein, mm-hmm. It helps to calm stress hormones down. Now talking about the cookie, it's probably not the sugar in the cookie that's really bad. It's like, okay, well, what else is in there? Mm. And if there's any type of like refined oils, PUFA oils, canola oil, a vegetable oil, sunflower, safflower, all of those oils paired with sugar, those have detrimental effects on the metabolism.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think, again, there's a lot of, you know, fear, or, you know, I'm completely cutting out sugar. I'm not doing it anymore, or, I can't have dessert. And that leads into, you know, other habits or behaviors of maybe having a cheat day, which I really don't advocate.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So it is important to kind of just have that balance. But like you said, how do we dress our meals, right? How do we dress our carbohydrates? Are we pairing it with the whole food fats? Are we pairing it with good protein sources? So I know you mentioned, you know, for a lot of women, so getting our fat into our daily diet is pretty achievable. But in terms of, you know, protein, what are some ways that we can incorporate more protein? What are good protein sources that we can maybe easily incorporate if we're, you know, super, super busy?
Yeah, I mean, protein it's kind of one of those, I don't want to say controversial things, but I think what happens when the word protein comes up is it kind of divides people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Mm. It divides people, and it's like, okay, either you're here and you eat animal protein, or you're right. over here and you're plant-based. And I'm hoping that women listening to this will kind of just shift their mindset a little bit and not think of it as good or bad, vegan, non-vegan, plant-based, non-plant-based. And again, going back to what is most digestible to the body, number one, and bioavailable protein, which is just a fancy word for the protein that our body prefers and that it has the most bioavailable nutrients that our body really can use. Mm. And these particular nutrients that are in animal proteins, they're so crucial for hormones. Mm. Saturated fats found in animal proteins, they contain cholesterol and just certain vitamins that you just can't get them in other foods, B vitamins, vitamin A, and so on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I know it's a little bit controversial, but if you're like really prioritizing your health, your healing, and your hormones, it's maybe to kind of shift over to just a different mindset, right? As opposed to meat, non-meat type of a thing. Mm. You know, if you're listening to this and you're like, no, I don't eat meat, a great way to start with is eggs. I think eggs are like the top superfood for women. Mm. The egg yolks, they have all the fat-soluble vitamins, folate. They're just the iron. The B vitamins, they're so, so good for women. They're also a fertility superfood. So that's a good way to go. It's kind of like that middle ground. If you can find a really great grass-fed collagen, so that's a good thing to add into your drinks. If you want to add that into your smoothies, add that into your lattes, add that into your adrenal cocktails, that's a good way to just get in like 10 grams of protein from what you're drinking. I also really like using bone broth protein powder. I don't use any other like conventional protein powders. Like pea protein, for example, it's so hard to digest. And, you know, we want to kind of stop thinking about protein in terms of like grams. Like, you know, if something has 15 grams of protein, that's wonderful. But can our body actually utilize it, right? Can it break it down and absorb it and utilize it? Does it have also amino acids? And is that a yes or is that a no, you know? But anywho, bone broth protein is a really great way to go, especially if you're like, no, I don't want to go for meat. you can do that. Of course, sipping bone broth is wonderful. Like this is just, again, it's another superfood for not just women, but like everyone because of the glycine in it. It's so healing to your gut. So if you're having gut issues or digestion issues, and I know we're heading into summer, so no one wants to be sipping something hot. So you're going to have this in the morning or at night, but have some bone broth and have some every day. It's so, so healing. And then of course, you know, going into like meats and whatnot, you know, or seafood, you know, when you can find them, if you can do grass fed, organic, pasture raised, those are ideal. Sometimes those are hard to come by. So you just kind of have to do the best that you can when you can.
Right. And I think that, you know, that final bit there, the best you can, you know, when you can, it really is, it's this ongoing kind of balance, or again, not getting into like black and white thinking of like, yes, no, all or nothing. I don't eat that. Mm-hmm. I only eat this. It's more about coming from a place of just, you know, abundance, and I'm trying my best and being quite self-compassionate, you know, with yourself when it comes to food, when it comes to stress, and leading into, I know self-care again is a very, very trendy word at the moment, but I think it, you know, it just comes back again to that concept of how are you nourishing yourself whether mm-hmm. it's on your plate or off your plate. But, you know, the importance of self-care and stress management in balancing blood sugar, I think, you know, throughout our whole conversation, the stress has come up a lot. And what are some tools that we can use to help nourish our body in terms of our food and dressing up our meals with the protein and whole food fats? What are some other ways that we can prioritize self-care or at least better support our stress hormones?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of non-food stuff that really impacts your blood sugar, right? Just the way stress impacts your blood sugar, and that doesn't have to do with food. I think it's really important, like most likely, like anyone listening to this, they're clearly interested in holistic health or metabolism or blood sugar. I think it's so important to take a break from this stuff. Mm. It's very easy to just get very burnt out and fatigued researching and reading and Googling and, you know, coming up with a plan and I'm going to do this and I'm going to change that. And I think that that's of course important, but that can't be the narrative in your head 24/7 because that constant, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Why did I do that? Because that always kind of goes along with it. It's like creating a stress response in your body, you know, not being in the present moment with your body right now, what's happening right now, what's happening today, and thinking about, I got to do this and I got to do that. Mm-hmm. It's putting your body in that fight or flight state. It's getting prepared for something else that's not right now. So take a break. You know, a lot of times I have my clients, I'm like, okay, this week you're going to schedule 1 hour of fun. That's right. A whole hour of fun.
I love that.
You'll be ready for it. Because like some people need that. They're like, fun for an hour? What am I going to do?
What is that?
What do I do? And then they get stressed because they're like, I don't know what I do to have fun. But anywho, so part of that is also like have fun, enjoy, play, laugh, be around animals, be around little kids, volunteer with the elderly or do something to kind of shift your energy away from all of this that's interesting to you, that's fun to you, that brings you joy, that makes you laugh. Who cares if it's just going on the couch and watching a funny movie, go to the park and watch little kids play in the dirt, whatever it might be. But you have to like kind of separate from this because women get very caught up in this whole, their whole like identity and who they are is gets wrapped up in their health and their healing or weight loss or maintaining their weight, stuff like that. And none of that is healthy. And it just, it creates, instead of all the threats being outside, the threat is within you, right? So you're just responding to the own threat inside of you.
Yeah, right. And it can just be completely overwhelming. And we're trying to be, you know, a million things for a million other people. And often it's just about coming back to yourself. Like you said, I love that, you know, and almost treating joy as a nutrient, right? Incorporating that, you know, as into your diet, if you want to put it that way. But
yeah,
really,
definitely.
I think, you know, stripping back down to the basics of, you know, what does my body need? I know these things to be nourishing to my body, right? Things we've spoken about, the protein and the fats and the fiber and the importance of, you know, eating breakfast and not under eating, all of these things. So it's kind of bringing women back to themselves and making it empowering of, okay, we know whole foods to be good for us, whole foods in the sense that, you know, you don't, like you said, have to be one or the other, plant-based or not, but whole foods, just everyone could eat more vegetables, right? Everyone could do with eating more nuts and seeds and legumes and pulses. So really just basing your diet on that. And for me, when it comes to just if someone wants kind of a guideline or a pyramid to look at, something visual, I really love the Mediterranean diet as an example of something that is quite balanced, pretty simple. You know, you're basing your food, your meals around, again, vegetables and grains, but it does include things like playing or having a sense of purpose, the mm-hmm. glass of red wine, you know, dark chocolate, all of these things. So as a starting point, I don't know if you would agree, but that for me is kind of just a nice base for people to operate from, and instead of getting very overwhelmed or stressed around amounts or calories or counting things. We've touched upon so much and incredible information. If you can just share your, you know, kind of maybe starting point or your top tips on how we can just, not even, you know, in relation to blood sugar necessarily, but how can we nourish ourselves in a holistic way? Where can we start without, you know, getting too overwhelmed with amounts and worrying about, you know, what you are or aren't eating. What would you say to a woman listening?
Well, I think let's start with a non-food one, and I think sleep. That's a really big one. Sleep is one of those things that if you find yourself tired during the day and then you lie down at night and then you like cannot fall asleep, your eyeballs are like wide open and your head is spinning. Mm-hmm. And then you have all these thoughts and you can't quiet them down. Again, super common for running off of stress hormones, but try to create some type of a nighttime routine that helps you wind down before you get to bed. And it doesn't have to be long. Like, you don't need to do some fancy hour long, like,
ritual.
I'm
going to
journal and read and meditate and then do a face mask and then I'm going to do whatever. You don't have to do all of that. Maybe do, like, start with 10 minutes if that feels doable. And just to kind of get into the habit of signaling to your body around the same time, maybe around 10, 15, that's a great time to wind down. To give your body that consistency, to give your adrenals that consistency. The body does not like, I'm going to go to bed at 9, I'm going to go to bed at 10, I'm going to go to bed at midnight, I'm going to go to bed at 2. It doesn't like that. That's causing a stress on the body, of course. So set like an evening alarm, and then when it goes off, you're going to put the phone away, turn off the TV, which I know is hard, but these things are stimulating. All they're doing is keeping us more wired and more awake. So put those things aside and for 10 minutes, read, do something you like. You can do the face mask for 10 minutes. I really like to read a really juicy book. I don't like at night, I don't read anything health, wellness, metabolism related. I read like a really juicy, like kind of a little bit corny, like chick novel type of a book. And I lay down on my bed, but I flip around so my legs are up the wall. And I do this maybe for like 10 minutes. It's just really relaxing, and the blood coming down from your feet towards your heart, it just kind of helps to calm the nervous system. And so that's, and I sleep, when I do that, I sleep really good. Or I should say, I feel like I sleep deeper and my dreams are a little bit weirder. So that lets me know that
you're hitting like, that good REM.
I'm getting that REM sleep. Exactly. You know, when, yeah. You know, you hit the REM sleep when your dreams are really weird, in a good way. But so that's something that you can do. You know, I think a book is great. So get a book that's like fun or funny or juicy or interesting. Mm-hmm. Another thing too, if you find that you're just kind of like a busybody and you can't kind of chill out, you know, prep for the next day, maybe get your clothes ready, make sure that you have something in line for your breakfast. Do you have food to bring to work the next day? If you're working from home, do you have your food prepped? Do you need to, you know, tidy up your bathroom or your kitchen? So that's something that you can do that I don't know, I kind of like that, especially if you lie in bed and you can't sit still. You can do a little bit of a thought dump before bed where you just write down all the things that you think about when you're trying to fall asleep, but you can't. Just write them down. It doesn't need to be perfect sentences. It doesn't need to be a long journal entry, but, you know, write down how your day went. Write down how your body's feeling. Most women, they go the whole day without checking in with their body. So, you know, you can do a little quick self check-in. I like to do, and I haven't done it in a while, so this is reminding me. I'll do, it'll be like a mind, body, soul check-in. So mind is like, what are my thoughts? Body is like, how is my body feeling? Do I have any tension? How's my digestion? You know, my body temperature. And then mind, body. Oh yeah. Soul is just like, how's my energy? Am I holding on to anything that I shouldn't be? Mm-hmm. Is there someone I need to tell something to? You know, whatever it is that comes up. So I think sleep is a really great place to start. And just starting with that 10 to 15 minutes winding down before you get into bed. We are often tapping away at the laptop or worse, we're scrolling on TikTok, looking at diet videos or my favorite, what I eat in a day videos. And then, God, I better get to bed. It's really late. And we go right from that. And then we can't fall asleep. So give yourself a little wind down time. Do something non-phone or computer related. And then, the next thing, eat breakfast. That's a really big one. This is hard. Like if you don't usually eat breakfast, don't force yourself into eating a breakfast right away. If you find that you usually eat around 10:30, that seems to be 10:30 or 11 will be around the time that people don't eat breakfast, eat. Just try to like nudge it. Just do like shorter increments where you're like, all right, I'm going to try to eat 20 minutes earlier today or 30 minutes earlier today. Just kind of nudge it, hold that for like a week. And then the next week, you know, you can nudge it a little bit more. So that way you do want to be eating an hour, at most an hour after waking up. 30 minutes is great, but if it's an hour, that's okay.
I love that. I love the very kind of holistic and also nourishing components. And, you know, one is how are you starting your day, right? So with the breakfast and the one is how you're ending your day.
Ending the day.
So quite a nice kind of full circle, right? And then in between, as much as you can, just try to be as kind to yourself as possible and perhaps incorporate some of the things we've spoken about today. But yeah, Jess, I want to thank you so much. One last thing. I see you're a matcha fiend, as am I.
Yes.
But what can we find you sipping on these days?
Good old fashioned water, but with a splash of fancy, a splash of coconut water and salt. So I try to make sure that pretty rarely do I drink just plain water. Mm-hmm. This is a change that I made like a couple months ago. So I'll do lemon water and salt. I'll do a little coconut water with regular water and salt. Just to make sure I'm getting enough minerals. This is wonderful for you. You know, minerals, again, if you're stressed, we go through minerals very quickly. So it's a really simple way to support your hormones. If it's not that, I do matcha every morning after breakfast. And it's my thing. Yeah, that's my thing. I love it. I'll do either cashew milk or coconut milk. I'll do a little maca, a little bit of honey. I'll do some collagen, or if I make a hot matcha, I'll put like some homemade marshmallows on top that have, not collagen. Why am I blanking out on the gelatin that are made with a really good quality gelatin? So I'm like getting either the collagen or the gelatin in there. So, that's pretty much all I drink. I'm not a coffee person. I like coffee ice cream, but I'm not really a coffee drinker.
Okay. Well, that's your adrenals. Thank you. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Jess. I have no doubt that everyone listening has learned so much from you today. I love your approach. I just love your focus on, like you said, the health, healing, and hormones, right? Where can people connect with you or find you if they would like a little bit more support?
They can find me on Instagram. It's Nourish with Jess. And my website is the same. It's nourishwithjess.com. And I'm just going to throw this out there. My boyfriend made me a TikTok.
Ooh.
No one's following me, but
I will.
Thank you. You'll be like literally be my first follower. I'm devastated by it, but I'm like, it's all right. But same thing, Nourish with Jess on TikTok. There's only like one or two videos.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yes. Yeah, I know. So thank you. Thank you, Kylie, for having me. Sorry, now I have the giggles because it's just funny.
You're picturing your latest video.
No one's following me, and it's okay. It's totally fine.
You got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere. So, yeah, exactly. If someone can follow me so my boyfriend won't be upset. But anyway, yeah, thank you, Kylie, for having me. I appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jess. Yeah, thank you so, so much for your time and sharing your knowledge.
Of course. Thank you. Bye.
Take care.